Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations. Hey, everyone, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe and then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow and turn on your notifications so that you don't miss any of the helpful stuff that we're talking about today. Now today, I get to share with all of you a conversation that I had with the lead pastor of the Ridge, Mark White, and our Ridge Compassion Director, Kelly Ager. In this conversation, they talk about their recent trip to Honduras, why we go on mission trips, how God impacts them, and a lot more. This is my conversation with Mark and Kelly. Hello, Mark and Kelly. Thanks for coming on to the Ridge podcast.
Thanks for letting me be here.
I noticed, after having such a long delay on my last one, you had me on and it must have went so badly. Now you're like, I'm not putting him on alone. So I'm going to bring him on with someone else. It's good.
Correct. Yes. I was like, who can I partner with with Mark to just give the people some joy in what they really want, you know? Mm-hmm. So
Kelly can make anybody look good. So that's good.
I don't know if I thought it was a compliment.
It was something. I know both of you recently went on a trip to Honduras, a mission trip. And what's it like to be back in the U.S.? Is it exciting?
It's colder, for sure. Although it is pretty warm here right now, so I'm not going to complain. We brought the sunshine.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I'm not much of a traveler. Okay, especially international traveler. So for me, it's a big step every time I go international. So
try to keep the faces to a minimum.
Yeah. For those of you watching on YouTube, you're going to get a full range of emotions from Kelly over here, as I'm sure you learned lots of things about everybody that traveled on the Honduras trip. Which I mean, you do when you kind of go on these things together. So just a fun question. What was the best thing you ate in Honduras?
Oof. Two things. I think that the pastor's wife made us lunch one day, and she made like these massive taquitos.
That's the same thing.
The only sad part about that was that we couldn't eat the fresh slaw to go with it because of obvious reasons. They didn't want to get us sick. But those were amazing. And then the Honduran baledas, they're like these grilled tortillas with meat and refried beans. Those were a must have for sure.
It's funny. I wrote down, Kelly, the same things. Those are the two things for me as well. I call them Honduras chips, but yeah. Same thing.
Okay. So you mentioned that you got to eat with the pastor's wife down there. So that I'm imagining you guys were connecting with the church. Maybe you guys could share just a quick, flyover of Honduras and the trip in general. And then we can kind of dive into the heartbeat about why we want to talk about just international missions in general.
So kind of the history of why we were there?
Yeah, let's dive into that.
Yeah. Well, back in 2020, we had an amazing group from the Ridge go down, and they got to really, it was a very quick trip, but they got to hear and see sort of the heart from Pastor Jose, who's the pastor down there. And I loved like how much pride they had in this piece of land that they had purchased and the vision for that. And that was sort of the, why this team from the Ridge started this journey back in 2020 was, are we ready and willing to pray for this church and help them sort of start their journey? Hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, there was an opportunity for us to go down there and explore an opportunity with a team of people coming with us from the Ridge, explore an opportunity to partner with Pastor Jose and their church, as well as Compassion International. And Compassion, and they do everything, if you've heard of them, they do everything through churches. all their stuff with connecting with kids and poverty and all that stuff. So we were going down there to really just assess the opportunity, the partnership, and get the feedback from this team of people that went with us and see if there was something long-term that was there.
So I'm curious, somebody is listening right now and they're like, missions, like what do people actually help? Is there a reason behind it? Like, why in the world would I go on a mission? And I guess the heartbeat behind that is just like starting even more basic. Like, do you believe that God calls people to go on international mission trips?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
You know, having led several trips with the Ridge, I feel like every person comes into it very differently. For me, it started with kind of some self-discovery. It was about, you know, making these friends in countries that I have never been to. But I really felt like it started with prayer and asking God if it was the right opportunity for me to go. And I love traveling. I probably am a little different than most people. Putting me outside of my comfort zone is the best place for me. But leading people who are afraid of that is totally different. And so I love being able to take people to Honduras and Guatemala and just help them learn lessons from people who are different from us, form bonds. That's like, for me, that's the most amazing thing that to this day, I'm still texting with people that I've met on these trips and just continue to pray for them and with them. And, you know, I take a little piece of them home every time I come back.
Yeah. Going off what Kelly said, I think I think, you know, if we want to grow, I mean, we got to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations, okay, with anything. And so, I think, yes, we are, and we should. And I think there's a lot of layers to it, John. I think one of them is there's something about when you go to another country or whatever it may be, and you just experience different cultures and just different things like that. You just see just the grandness of the creation of God through just all those things, okay? The other thing is you see, I just think, such depth in the kingdom of God. Because, you know, our reference point, and I always say, you know, with Jesus, following Jesus always changes our reference point and stuff. You know, the definition of love and forget all of these different things that Jesus always kind of moves things on us, changes the reference point. And when you go on a trip like this, your reference points will be moved in all sorts of things. And it's really good. The kingdom of God and just how big it is and how different it is and just, but yet how I always look at this, man, it's so diverse, but yet unified all at the same time. You'll look at things like, you know, if you haven't gone out of the country, our world is the world, and that's not it. And until you go to another place and you go, oh, this isn't the world. And there is so much more to it than that. And you'll just kind of move reference points. You'll see different things like poverty and stuff like that. Not to go, oh, we're so blessed. I mean, we are, obviously, but you can't, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then God just, it's one thing for me to tell you about it. And it's another thing for you to see it and feel it and experience it and be with people in the middle of it. And God just does something in our heart that you can't do from a distance. And so I think there's just a lot of layers to it.
Yeah. I remember when I came back from my first trip and I was trying to explain my experience to my kids. And it was just something that only my heart knew because I was there. I felt it. I've seen it. And so just getting on a plane is definitely part of the journey for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I love that you both have two wildly different perspectives because, Mark, you mentioned you're not particularly a traveler. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, obviously you're saying love to travel, That's kind of like your just what gets you out of bed in the morning, you know? And I think it's cool that regardless of where you are on that spectrum, like God's going to use that, you know, and he's probably, I'm guessing, going to challenge you in different ways depending on where you're at in that, you know, spectrum.
Yeah, because what you get on the other end of the travel, and that's what I love about Kelly's story, is, you know, you may love traveling, but you're not going on a vacation. So, you know, you're going there to you're going there to get your hands dirty, and you're going there to serve, and you're going there to help, and you're going all these different things. Okay. And so that's the stuff that on the other end, you just don't know what God has waiting for you. That's so important for us.
What's the balancing act between this concept of I'm going there to serve, to make an impact, to build these relationships, and the other side, which is, gosh, if I know, like, I want to grow and I want a bigger view of who God is and the world, how do you navigate between those two things? Do those things work together? Like, how do you navigate that?
When we start with a new group that are planning on going on a trip, I try to communicate with them that I'm not actually sure what this week is going to look like. You know, we partner with some really amazing pastors in these other countries, and it's whatever they want us to do. We are there to support them. It's not our trip. It's not us creating an itinerary and figuring out where we can plan excursions. It's really like, what is his plan? What does he need us to help him with? And so there have been trips where, yeah, we were on the side of a mountain painting a house, but then there have been trips where we went door to door and we prayed with people. And so every trip is unique. It kind of depends on who's going to be on that plane with us. You know, if it's a group of guys, then we know that we probably have some muscle, and not that women can't do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's probably an ability to build a few things. So would love to have a group of guys go on a trip because they can do things that women can't. Maybe it's talking to a group of fathers. A group of moms may not be able to do that. And so it really is going to be unique to each group that goes down.
Yeah, I think there's I kind of look at it as God knows what we need based on where we're at. All right. And so I love how Kelly describes, it's just kind of unique, not only to the team, but to the individuals that are going. I also think there's something about that first trip you go on. And I know we're talking about, for many of us, just getting on the first trip, you know, on the first trip, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I'm going down there and, you know, what's it going to be like? And you're a lot of nerves and all that stuff. But then you go on the second one and that's not as big of a deal anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it's on the second one, oddly enough, where I think a shift happened, at least it happened for me. And you talk to people who go on it. And the shift, I think, is I really don't have a lot to offer here. I spoke at the church that, you know, we helped plant down there. And I remember just going like, what am I doing? I'm not qualified to speak here. And I just, you know, there's just this real humbling thing that God does in our hearts. I go like, shish. And it's something. It really is. It's something sacred.
What do we do with those emotions? Those like, that little bit of fear and hesitation. And I mean, you say like, I don't know if I could actually make a difference. And for some of people, those emotions, that potential of uncomfortability, and probably a guarantee of some sort of uncomfortability, what do we do with that?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, totally. Sorry. So if somebody starts talking to you and they have some hesitations and they're like, you know, I'm nervous about it, a little bit scared. I don't know if I'd actually be able to do anything that mattered in it. And they have a lot of these like hesitations and reservations about going. What might your like encouragement be for somebody in that moment? What advice would you give them? Would you speak to that?
This has never happened. Just kidding.
Of course.
I mean, like every trip. my apologies, my God. Okay. So every trip that I've been on, there has been at least one person who's struggling with something eternally that's unique to them and their situation. We've had a woman who's had health problems who was like, man, I don't know if my body's going to be able to take a whole week in a country or just traveling. And then we get down there and we meet a man who's literally sick with the same issue she is. And she has all of the knowledge that the doctors here in America have given her that he doesn't. And God connected them. And so she wasn't sure why she was on this trip, but she went and then it clicked. And so it's pretty awesome to sit down and find out, okay, well, why, what's your concern and how can we pray for you and really ask God, what's on the other side of this for you? How are we going to be able to utilize that in a way that is, it's not self-fulfilling, but it can be a light in somebody else's story.
Yeah. I think those emotions are important, John. I think, a lot of times if you go on a trip like this, you see all different experiences, like Kelly said, but you know, for some, it's like this pendulum just kind of goes to the other way. Cause it's like, well, I've never been in a situation like this. I've never experienced things like this. I've never experienced poverty like this. I've never seen these sort of things. Okay. So there's this huge emotional swing. And what I've noticed is a lot of times that emotional swing, and this is what makes it important, is that's actually identifying some of the stuff underneath the surface of our heart that's always been there that these experiences bring to the surface. And so they have to, it's a very important part of God getting more of our heart. Mm-hmm. And so what do we do with those? We got to step into those and we got to move into those. And it's just really important. That's why a lot of the good trips, they'll have a time where you debrief. And that debriefing time is a part of that very question that you ask. And how do we reintegrate now back into our life now from this trip? And so it's just a really important thing, but it's a necessary thing and not something to shy away from, but actually to lean into.
Was there anything about this last trip that kind of struck either of you in a similar way or maybe something you'd love to share or something like that?
So before we got on a plane, I was asked to teach some of the leaders at Pastor Jose's church, and I know Mark is grinning because I just went through this like roller coaster of what do I have to teach these people, you know, and I went through pages and pages and pages of different ideas and concepts. And I even went to the point where I was like, okay, I'm not here to teach you anything. We're going to have a discussion.
And it what we called it, by the way. We didn't call it training more. It was a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Like the idea of training them just gave me such anxiety. Like I'm not worthy of training anybody. But God just, he was so amazing through that. And he was so gentle with me. And it wasn't till that very moment where I saw these leaders at his church just start coming together. And there's this moment that I remember where it went from a discussion to active serving, where we were talking about them just being people in seats to really taking Pastor Jose's vision, that they were the action behind his vision. And it was just a turning point for me. But I struggled with that personally. Yeah. Like what, oh my gosh, what do I have to teach? It was kind of cool. I was really excited about it afterwards.
And she did great. Many people bragged about it that were there for her discussion. So she did great. I personally is interesting. This is a, and this can come across as kind of a guilt written. It's not, I hope it doesn't come across that way. Okay. Cause this is, you know, you asked the question personally, Russell. I was really, you know, I try to focus a lot on the lost and the least. Jesus focuses on, I mean, that's, those are, man, right there, that his heartbeat right there, the lost and the least of these. And so when I was down there and we had talked about sponsoring a kid and we had a child, and we had already had set the one that we were going to do and all that stuff. And it's funny, Donna and I, she picked a daughter. We call her our daughter from another country, but then we landed on a son. And so we're down there and I'm just kind of letting God just speak to my heart. And I just feel like he was just going, what keeps you from doing two? And so you have to, it's $43 a month. You know what you've seen. What will you have to give up for that? And this is a child. This is a life. This is an opportunity you have. What's that worth to you? Because it's worth a ton to me. And I'm just going like, man, God, you're right. And I'm going, $43, who cares? And it's worth it. It's worth it. And so, you know, we ended up sponsoring two. And which once again, it's not huge, but it's one of those things to go like, I just felt like I was going, what really matters? And this is people you're talking about. And it just, you know, just, I think just a struggle and a wrestling, but going like, yeah, what does matter? It's all about people. And that's all God cares about is people. And we get this opportunity. Plus I love kids. So I love being around all the kids. And I just love kids. They're just so life-giving.
You mentioned the concept of sponsoring a kid. And I know just this last weekend, we brought up the idea and challenged people to sponsor a kid. Could you guys speak into that a little bit in terms of like, why did that feel like something that, you know what, this is time where we need to talk to everybody. We need to bring everybody to the Ridge together on this and really, challenge people to embrace this as something that God wants for people who, you know, not just call the Ridge their home, but anybody who's coming.
What I love about Compassion and this partnership that we have with Pastor Jose is that the kids that are getting sponsored aren't just getting $43 a month, but they're in really essentially they're getting scripture. They're getting medical, they're getting school supplies, and they're getting the opportunity to build relationships with Pastor Jose and the church. You know, I believe at this point we have 300 kids from that area, roughly 150 specifically from Pastor Jose's church that we get to sponsor. And where was I going to go with that? You know, those kids are essentially a part of who we are, right? Like, we funded Pastor Jose to build this church in that area, and we get to go back down and not only do we get to sponsor these kids, but we get to go back and see them grow. Hmm. We get to have communication with them ongoing. We get to pray for them, and essentially we could go back and see them really transform a community. Hmm. Man, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think Kelly nailed it. And I think we look at it this way. Now these aren't just some kids, these are our kids.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is an extension of the Ridge. And I've worked with Compassion now in a couple plants. One was in Ecuador. And so I've had the pleasure of seeing just all the stuff they do behind the scenes. And so when you talk about, you know, the $43 and all that stuff and just how they staff it, how they track things, what they do, the ripple effect it has, not just on the child itself, but on their family. Okay. And just how important that relational connection is to them, you know, from us. Cause I mean, a lot of the kids, they don't, you know, they get letters And, you know, all of a sudden you see pictures of their sponsor family and all the letters. I mean, they don't get words of affirmation or encouragement. A lot of them don't. Their backgrounds are just, I mean, they're just heartbreaking as far as that's concerned. So you see that level of it. So there are kids. We get to go back and we get to actually have a personal connection with them and all stuff like Kelly said. And then here's the other thing. It's cycle breaking. We always talk about breaking cycles of poverty. And that's what this is. And so we're really seeing some long-term effects of healthy child sponsorship, and it is cycle breaking. So it's just really cool. It's a generational thing.
So one, if you're listening to this and you haven't heard the message and the encouragement from this past weekend, I want to encourage you to do that because I think you'll be challenged. But I'm curious, somebody who's made the decision, they're sponsoring a kid. And they've put that poster and that picture on their fridge. I think that's a classic move. How
we did. That's what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? How do you like? What's that step of like? Okay, I've done this, but we don't want it to be just I did the deed. I felt obligated, and now I'm giving. And you know, how do we take it to where it's actually affecting our heart and our relationship with Jesus? How do we incorporate those things into the process so it's not just, well, I did my good deed, I checked my box, but it's actually something transformational too.
Which is funny because I actually pulled off my packet off my refrigerator.
Yeah.
On this call. And in my packet, I literally have stuck every picture that they have sent me of Mick over the years, and just watching him grow has been just such an honor. But today I actually physically held the packets of the kids from Pastor Jose's community, and to know that Mark and I got to meet those kids. Mm. And in a couple of years we want to go back down. Mm. And we want to take you with. Because over the, you know, the next several months, as you are writing these kids, you're building a relationship with them. You're going to get to know what their favorite color is and what they like to eat. You're going to know how to pray for them. And a lot of times it's praying for a parent or a sibling. I mean, that was my experience with Mick, is he was always asking us to pray for his mom. And you're really going to build a bond and a bond with somebody you've never met before. So I think it's on a totally different level. So the opportunity then to, and Mark, maybe you can talk into this because you actually got to meet your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to do that yet. So I'm pretty excited to be able to kind of complete that circle.
Yeah, I think that's where there's a part of it, John, that is personal now because, you know, Kelly and the team were hoping to schedule some trips down there. And yeah. So not only to meet your child, but to also engage with what God is doing in the church with all the kids, 150 and growing, as Pastor Jose said. And so you get to just be a part of that and just personalizes things. Okay, once again, it's not just some kids, it's our kids. But the other side of that, John, I think there's a faithfulness aspect to this where the heart doesn't feel. We don't do it so the heart feels. We do it out of faithfulness.
Yeah.
And so, because if we just are doing it, well, you know, how does my heart feel? Well, we won't do anything, really, because it'll just feel and then go away. A lot of times through the faithfulness and through not feeling, the heart grows, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And honestly, that'll personalize your experience more because of your faithfulness up front. Because you're like, oh man, this is, oh, you're seeing, oh man, this is great. And so I just think there's a part of that that's just really important.
Yeah. I feel like it seems like that's a theme throughout the whole of all of your stories about even being on the fence about going down and doing a trip. About, you know, taking the chance to like invest and sponsor a kid, there being this theme of, you know, even when I'm not sure if I feel it, I have doubts. There's this faithfulness element that God really honors and does something, you know? And I know, Mark, you talk a ton about having this prayer that we'd have a heart for God and his heart, mm-hmm. you know? And this seems like one of those things that's a very practical, you know, like ask the question of like, okay, how do I do more than just pray for that concept? This seems like such a tangible, practical element to actually making that reality.
Yeah, if I was going on that trip based on how I felt, I wouldn't have gone on that trip. Yeah. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah.
I just don't naturally gravitate in these type of environments. I don't gravitate towards them naturally. Mm-hmm. But I'm always glad when you ignore the feeling and then Kelly kicks me in the butt and says, you're going. So when those two things are there, I never regret it. And you know, you won't either. You just won't. If you do that and just kind of ignore the feeling side of things and focus on the faithfulness side of things, that's where God does some really, really sacred stuff in our lives. And plus, what's really cool with the compassion thing now is through the app and all that stuff, you can be in contact with your child a lot more frequently, send prayer requests, picture. It's some really cool stuff now with technology that even personalize it more.
That's amazing. Yeah, when they came up with the app, you know, prior to that, and maybe even now, people are kind of assume like, I got to go on the website or I physically have to write this letter. Man, the app is so easy.
It's great.
Directly to, and I mean, nothing wrong with doing it from your computer, but like all of my pictures of me and my family are on my phone. So I had to transition them from my phone to my computer to upload them. This was so easy. You just attach and send. And the one thing that I think we heard quite a bit from the Compassion employees was that these kids want to hear from us. They want to know that we're praying for them. And it doesn't have to be a very long, thought out letter. It could just be, I'm thinking of you, and here's some scripture to pray on. It could be very quick. Just get to know you, and that's where the relationship building really comes into play.
We had a couple of translators of letters and stuff telling us stories, and they were crying talking about just that. And some of them were doing it for 20 years. All right.
Oh wow.
And they were just kind of talking about just the importance of the relational connection and what that. And they were just sharing some stories, and they were just emotional about it. Mm-hmm.
Well, as we kind of wrap up our conversation here, I'm curious, it could be anything from international trips to sponsoring a kid. Is there anything that you feel like you just want to share, or is there any closing thoughts or anything like that you'd want to talk about? Kelly, I'll throw it to you first.
I'm just trying to think about this trip and, you know, my group we're studying John, and I just think about John 13, where Jesus gives us this command to love one another, but he doesn't just command it of it. He is like he gives us example after example of example of how he just loves others. He, you know, he healed the sick and he fed the hungry and he served others. And if I can just me personally take that step to look like that, just even a little bit, then I've, not that I've fulfilled my life, but I just that much closer to looking, loving, and living like Jesus did.
No, that's so good. I just thinking, if you haven't gone on a trip, you know, and this includes your students, you know, if you're, and some of them that we're going to offer, and hopefully offer more of them, you know, students over 12, 14 years old, and it's really important as well, okay? But if you haven't gone on a trip, make it a priority over the next 18 months to get on a plane and go on a trip. I just, once again, there's just something that God does when he takes us out of this environment and puts us in another one that he just can't do anywhere else. And it's just a real heart thing. And you get a bigger vision for not just the world, which you do, okay, but you get a bigger vision for what he's doing around the world and just such unique ways and just life change and all that stuff. And I still remember sitting in the church, and we were in the back, and they were they were singing a couple songs. Okay. And, you know, they're singing them in Spanish and all that. And I just remember I got just kind of choked up because I knew the songs in English and they're singing them in Spanish. Okay. And I go, man, what's better than this, man? It's just like, we're in this impoverished area. The sound system's not working half the time. Okay. Which yeah. I didn't care about. And, you know, they're sitting in these plastic chairs. Nobody gave a rip. And they're just singing with their hearts. And I go, man, whatever they have, I want. And I want more of. And I just got emotional just going, man, this is the local church. This is the kingdom of God. This is so cool. And here we are. It just doesn't get better than this.
I had an opportunity last year to take my son, who's 13, to Guatemala with me. And there was just something special about watching him connect with the kids down there and just build. And he does not speak a lick of Spanish. They did not speak a lick of English, but man, they could play. They could play together. Yeah. And, you know, we just built this bond with this special family that's now near and dear to our hearts. And he is looking forward to going back again this April. So I highly recommend encouraging your kids to do it too.
Well, think about it. We always go, well, they're so selfish. You know, everyone's parent says that. Okay, well, they're so selfish. Well, here's the thing. They only know what they know. Okay, they only have one reference point. And so step them out of, once again, their reference point and just watch them, first off, thrive. And we're like, well, I'm afraid. What if they'll be? No, they won't be. It'll be great. And they'll thrive. And their heart will God will move their heart in a way. And they'll come alive, man. It's powerful.
That's awesome. We will have lots of practical application steps that you can do in our show notes and description, how you can get plugged in to experience this firsthand, how you can talk to your kids about this. Maybe you were inspired and you haven't had a chance yet to sponsor a kid, And we'll have all the ways you can do that in our show notes in our description. But Kelly, Mark, thank you so much for sharing your experience, for first of all, being willing to be faithful and go through this experience, and then being willing to just kind of share about how it's impacted you and, man, how you just really hope that people will take that step and have it impact them as well. So thank you both.
My pleasure.
I'm glad Kelly forced me to go.
Way to end it on a positive
note. I love it.
Make sure the passport was up to date.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. I'm glad you did.
Well, that was my conversation with Mark and Kelly, and I hope that conversation leaves you feeling inspired to do a couple things. One, check out the links in our description to find out how you can find out more about going on a mission trip and experiencing these elements of life change for yourself. And two, consider sponsoring a child. You can find out everything you need to know about that in the description as well. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Rich Podcast, and make sure to follow and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.